shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The talk of the town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Daytime turns me off and I don't mean maybe. 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound. When it's gone, I run.
Welcome to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. I got a really nice show for you tonight in the 10 to 11 hour. You know, Dan Long, we've had Otis Clay on, we've had steel drum players, we've had lawnmower racers, but you know what we've never had?
Strings.
Very good. We got the Bach and Beethoven experience between 10 and 11, so I'm really looking forward to that, so that'll be good. And in the first hour, to kick off the Memorial Day weekend, we're going to talk about camping and RVs and motorhomes and campgrounds, and it all ties in with a book that I wrote, and John Saul, who is in the studio, photographer, did the photos for. It's called The Camper Book, and it's out on Chicago Review Press, and it comes out on June 1st, and we're having a book release party with a pop-up campground at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn on June 3rd. So I wanted to bring John in because the book is as much about the photos. There's some beautiful photos in the book as it is about the text. So thanks, John, for coming in.
Thanks, Dave, for having me.
You're still my friend after being on the road with me?
Yes. you don't realize how small a transit van is until you're on the road with another guy for a week or two at a time.
I wanted to ask you, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the trips we took, but I knew you at the Sun-Times, obviously, and I really know you well now that we've been on the road together. Where does your love of the road, and I know we've talked about Route 66, but where does your love of the road come from?
Oh, absolutely. I can trace that back to my childhood very easily. When I was, 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, at a wonderful uncle, Uncle George, was a bit of a Renaissance man, and he took my brother Matt and I on a trip around the country visiting all the national parks. And here I was at, 10, 11 years old, visiting the Badlands in South Dakota, and then off to Mount Rushmore, and over to Devil's Tower, and then Yellowstone, and down to Zion and Bryce, then down to the Grand Canyon, and we rode the donkeys down to the bottom and back, and then over to Carlsbad Caverns on the way. Before that was the Mesa Verde, then the Carlsbad Caverns, and then back to Chicago. That was about over a month, I think, we were on the road.
Did you take pictures?
I did. That was the beginnings of my photography as well. Uncle George taught me photography using an old Exacta camera with Zeiss lenses and Kodachrome 25 film. So those, I still have those slides. They are as vibrant today as they were the day I shot them 40 years ago or more. And so that's where my love of the road and the national parks and camping all come
now,
from.
Now, before we did this book, you had gone camping, right? I mean, as an adult?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. My wife Lisa and I, we enjoy camping. Car camping, we call it. In other words, we'll go Wisconsin or Michigan, maybe even out to Colorado, and we'll have a tent. We have a nice large tent, but we always have the car nearby as well where we can, go into town or whatever. But no backwoods or backcountry camping yet.
And you take pictures, do you take pictures when you go camping just as a vacation, just as a fun thing to do?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm rarely without a camera, so as you know. And that's, sometimes when you get your best shots as a photographer, as I'm someone, I like the serendipity of being in places and just capturing moments that are unfolding before me. There's so many apps that photographers can use nowadays to plot where the sun and the moon are going to be, to the degree in the sky and all this. And I suppose that's, one type of photography where you have that precision. But I would much rather just be on a hike and have a scene unfold before me and then be able to capture it.
Now, I'm so modest about plugging the book. But you know, one of my favorite shots, and maybe you know, we can't show it. Maybe we can. It's on the websites and the Facebook page for the camper book. But that was it. Camp Mikasa outside of not really outside of St. Louis, but I can't remember the Carthage, Missouri.
Carthage, Missouri.
I've worked with a lot of photographers, and some move fast, some move slow. And I talk about how that's one of my favorite pictures in the book. I've got it. You made a print. I've got it framed in my kitchen. It's just. So talk about how you – it's the camper van under the stars. So talk about how you set that up. And I watched you. You were very meticulous in setting that up.
Sure, absolutely. You know, certainly when you're outside of Chicago, the dark skies are – I'm really drawn to that when I go to Colorado as well. But so there we were. Pretty much the only folks camping at Camp Mikasa because it was June. It was a little early in the season. And Bluebird, Dave's van, was just sort of all by itself out there.
It was in a swampy area. It was a little muddy.
On the pad. And just above him was this amazing, you know, sky full of stars. So, of course, working at night, that was a tripod shot. I think what you maybe saw me doing was looking for the right angle to capture your van, as well as I wanted to have a little bit of the there was the pool house and just a few building structure behind a little bit, but that shot to me was just about being out in the open. Even though we weren't far off of Route 66 and not far from a town, that shot really has a spirit of aloneness about it, you know. But you know, and as you know, you can be alone but not lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the caption in the book, we made a little joke that Dave, because you can see Dave inside the van, you know, as you were doing some
calling for mechanical help,
reading or writing. But the caption says, Dave Hoekstra reads the Bluebird instruction manual for the first time.
Yeah, right. What's the difference between taking a picture that is maybe an obvious question, but a picture of that and some of the portraits you took for the book when you take pictures of people and stuff?
Sure. When you were doing interviews, then I just tried to sort of lurk in the background a little bit and not interrupt your interview, but at the same time, I'm just looking to get candid moments of people. I'd much rather work that way, and again, with my 25 years as a photojournalist with the Sun-Times, we weren't, you know, a photojournalist generally doesn't set up his imagery. You try and capture natural moments, and I even do that with the interviews. And so as you were talking to the different subjects we met over the course of the 2 years we were working on the book, I just tried to capture the appropriate portraits. One of my favorites was the shot of Buzz Waldmeyer in the Cozy Dog down in Springfield. You were interviewing him. You guys were sitting in the old booths right by the window. There was some beautiful light coming in, and there was some Route 66 signage, you know, up on the wall. It's just a really nice portrait that really gives you the sense of place. And again, all of that, I didn't intrude on your interview, and Buzz probably didn't even know I was making that photo, but it's just a really genuine moment that you capture.
Okay, we're gonna take a break. It's the Camper Book, a celebration of a movable American dream, and it comes out June 1st on Chicago Review Press, and there's a party on June 3rd. You'll be there, John.
Absolutely. Fitzgerald's.
Music with Paul Halvey. He's a friend of Charlie Krebs, the late Charlie Krebs, who passed away a couple years ago, who always listened to the show. And Paul's a singer-songwriter from the Riverside Brookfield area, does a lot of farmers markets. The Hat Stretchers, kind of like country blues. And coming up in the 9:30 hour, the Carnivore food truck from Oak Park. So we'll be back with more John Saul and also some characters from the book. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal.
I graduated high school.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. And on the phone, we have our friend Julie. Are you there?
Hey, how are you?
Julie, is Dwayne there?
Yes, he's safe.
I'm right here.
Julie,
that's for you.
Julie and Dwayne Charette. Am I pronouncing it right?
Well, share it.
Share it. Okay. I barely remember. Thanks for joining us. You're the Beaver Valley Cabins and Campgrounds outside of Cooperstown. Also in the studio is photographer. He wasn't along on that leg of the trip because I was on my way to Maine, but John Saul, he did pictures for the book. So John's on with us. But
Hi there.
You know how much I love you guys. I love baseball, and I love the way you rescued me in the forest when I was lost, Julie, in the middle of the night. But... Which you did. I mean, you did. Remember?
I did. The
GPS sent me somewhere in a swamp. I was in a swamp, right?
Yes, and I've told you that there were, like, live people that have gone into that swamp and never returned. So you were very, very lucky.
Yes. So tell us where the campground. It's 300 acres, and you got 60 campsites, and you're about, like, what, 5 miles from Cooperstown? So tell us a little bit about the lay of the land there.
Yeah, pretty much. It's 300 acres. We also have about 30 cabins, and we do everything. We have a reception hall where we do meals. We do weddings, destination weddings, camping cabins. We run a baseball training camp. We host woodbat tournaments of our own, and then we host other teams that come in that want to play, you know, tournament teams. So we're very busy.
Yeah, and... You built, Dwayne, talk about you guys. It's almost like a Field of Dreams thing. You guys built a couple baseball fields there. Talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. We bought the place 88, 89, and, you know, working pretty hard and trying to get more business. And then the baseball strike kind of happened, and we lost, we were losing people because they were so upset with Major League Baseball. So we decided to, build a couple ball fields and start a baseball training camp. So that's what I did. I built a major league field and a little league regulation little league field, and we started a baseball training camp, and that's how that got established.
When we talked I was there 2 summers ago. You're like the field whisperer. I mean, you put corn. I mean, you're so modest. I mean, there's it's just like there's corn in the outfield, right? You got corn growing there, and you've got the original electric scoreboard from Doubleday Field. Is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of built out of a lot of stuff that the fence came out of a college in Connecticut, the scoreboard. It was the original electric scoreboard off Doubleday Field. It's held up by trolley tracks from Oneonta that used to be a bridge only a mile from us, and then I bought it for scrap. The dugouts are built out of John Denver stage.
Yeah, I talked to your wife this afternoon. I love the John Denver stage. Just a nice sidebar. So there was a John Denver concert there years ago. Talk about that.
Yeah, the John Denver concert was in 1988. It was one of the reasons why it was the campground was bankrupt twice, and that was one of the reasons. And John Denver, it was a great concert, but they overextended themselves and ended up about $600,000 in debt. But I had a 120-foot stage at the base of a hill, and they didn't put it in very well, so I took it apart. And it took me about 12 years to use all the material. It took me a long time. So I built cabins out of it and built dugouts out of it and just kept using it for decks. And so that's how that all ended up.
And so you started in 89.
We did. We were looking for land because we wanted a big piece of property that had water on it that we could make a living off of. So we answered an ad, like in a local penny saver, for cheap land around Canajoharie, New York, and who could turn that down, you know?
Uh-huh.
We started working with a local realtor, with a realtor from Canajoharie, and he'd bring us to places, and it was like, oh, you know, the land is beautiful because it's such a pretty spot, but it was kind of not a lot going on, like on the main street or, you know, whatever. So they drove us through Cooperstown when they were having their winter carnival, and they're like, wait, this is the kind of place we want to live. Stop. So we started working with a local realtor, and he brought us, we looked at a few properties, but he brought us to Beaver Valley, and really, it looked like there was some natural disaster that had happened. There was barrels tipped over with beer bottles and bed springs all over the place, trash. The door to the store was kind of flapping in the wind.
Yep.
And we got out of the car. My feet were frozen. It was so cold. It was sleeting. It was overcast. And we were like, wow, we love this place.
Yeah, it was the most beautiful place in the world.
So
Well, I mean, that's why I love you guys, because I mean, your spirit. I want to read a little bit how I ended the chapter on you guys. But in '89, you said you were young, stupid, and invincible. That's
it. Yeah. Now we're old and stupid.
Yeah. We're going to beat the crap out of
us. This is in the chapter, but in your own words. So you get the baseball strike, and you start doing the clown school. I love this sidebar. And you guys became Spackle and Sparkle. And Dwayne, talk about your family history with clowns in Minneapolis.
Yeah, my father was a clown. He was also a gymnast, and in high school and in college, he was a traveling clown. So he'd go through Minnesota. That's where I'm from originally. I'm from right outside the Twin Cities. And he'd travel. They made a wagon out of a old hay wagon and put a trampoline on it. And they did the flying trapeze and all that. And my dad's clown name was
Pat and Sap.
Yeah, Sappy was
Sappy.
His clown name.
Sappy the clown.
Yep. So that's how it started. So we had clowning in our genes, I guess. And then, you know, we were doing nightly activities for the campground, trying to get business. And
this was during the strike.
It was just exhausting. But
you kind of did the clown thing to get by during the strike, right?
Yeah.
All that stuff helped. All that stuff. You know, we made it work.
Your kids were clowns. Most of your kids were clowns too, right?
Yeah, Nathan, our oldest, who's 40 now. Nathan was 11, I think, when we bought the campground, and he went to clown school with us. So
Scribbles,
yeah, Scribbles.
His name was Scribbles, and then I think we had Kaylee or something, and I think she was just a baby, and we called her Dribble.
But, Scribbles and Dribbles. Yeah. It's like a radio show here.
But then she was Shiny Heart.
Yeah, right? Then she was Shiny Heart later. But
yeah, we used to do shows. You know,
we have clown shows, and we do magic tricks and all that stuff. And it was a gas.
And I've got to take a break. But you still got the Chevrolet passenger bus that you take people to.
I do, and it started again. It's amazing.
Yeah. And during the strike, and then when you were doing the clown thing, you actually drove people to Cooperstown in your clown outfit, right?
Yeah, I'd do the bus every 3 hours. So on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'd take the shuttle bus because there was no trolleys or anything. So I would take bus runs every 3 hours. And then, if we were doing a clown show, I still was in makeup, but I still took the bus in. And people were okay with it, I think.
That wouldn't work in Chicago. can you hang on? We got to take a quick break, and I want to bring you back just for a couple more things, and I want people to know where you're at and what your website is and all that.
Oh,
okay.
Sure,
all right. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on Nocturnal Journal.
Oh, yeah, man. You were so funny.
It ain't the meat, it's the motion. That makes your daddy wanna rock. It ain't the meat.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We're joined, we got John Saul, the photographer for the camper book, and we're also joined in studio with Brad Knobb, the owner of Carnivore Inc. in Oak Park.
Yes,
and
sir.
You're going to be with your food truck at our book release party on June 3rd at Fitzgerald's. But I want to just say goodbye to Julie and Dwayne Sherritt. You still there?
We're here.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys, it's so much. Tell us what's going on. You just opened up, right? It's this is your opening weekend, Memorial Day?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've been busy.
We're a little crazy.
And you still have, you said the camps. Do the Cepedas, our baseball fan, audience will know Orlando Cepeda. Do the Cepedas still do the camps there?
Ali's isn't able to, but Malcolm is coming, yes. So, it's pretty great.
And who are those for? I mean, are they for the public? Or how do those camps work?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, it's an overnight children's camp. So kids just sign up online, and they come to camp for 2 weeks. And we bring them, you know, they have training all day. Then we bring them into Cooperstown in the evening, and we go to the Hall of Fame. We go to the Wax Museum. You know, we do different things like that. So it's totally all baseball. And over the weekend, we hover around 2 weekends. It's the induction weekend, so we bring the kids to the induction ceremony.
And you also have the Baltimore Orioles Fantasy Camp. Is that still going on?
Yep, we have it. It's either August or September every year. And our great friend Steve Freeman puts it on. He's a sweetheart. But, yep, they're coming back. We have the Legends of Baseball. The National Adult Baseball Association plays here, so got a few things.
It's a fantastic place and a fantastic story. Give us the information how people can find you and your website and all that stuff.
Sure. We have two websites. One is for the campground, and it's CooperstownCabins.com with an S on it. And the other one is CooperstownBaseball.com. That's our baseball site.
You know, I saw Bill Murray here in Chicago. He's doing this thing where he does spoken word with some songs, and he's coming to Cooperstown on June 24th. So you should go see him. You should drop our name here at Nocturnal Journal. It's a really, really great show, and he's such a baseball fan. So thank you so much. We ended the chapter with you with a quote from you, Julie. And this is a great segue into the book and what we're talking about. You said, when you started, we started out with three rules: be considerate, be careful, and be happy.
Yep.
Pretty much it.
That's all you need to know, right?
Pretty much it.
Yeah.
So, the list has gotten a little longer over the years.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, and maybe I'll come back out there this summer. Okay?
Well, we hope you do.
Okay. We'll thanks, Julie and Duane.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you can rescue me again. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. So what do you think there? What do you think, Brad?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't hear very much of it. The camp sounded cool.
Are you a camper?
Not as much as I used to. Since starting to own a business, I've really don't have a lot of time. All my hobbies have sort of fallen by the wayside if they don't involve making meat smaller or making food hot.
Yeah. And so tell us a little of the history of carnivore. You started, I think, in 2014?
Yeah, August 2014. My business partner, Eric, and I were working together for sort of a mid-sized local restaurant group. And around our fifth or sixth 90-hour week in a row, we sat down in a bar way out on the west side.
What bar was that?
Eva's, over by Harlem on Grand. Beautiful old package bar. Yeah, Polish sports bar. It's killer, man.
I moved out there. The Eva's.
It's a beautiful place.
All right.
If you're out that way, I can give you plenty.
Okay.
We were sitting there having a beer and trying to figure out if we were going to work 90 hours a week for someone, it should probably be us. So the idea of retail came out of the fact that, with retail, it's not like a restaurant. You don't have a 40-item menu staring you in the face every day that every piece of has to be ready. You can open the door with what fish, what meat, what poultry, what sausage you have had time to make, and make as much as you can during the day. You know what I mean? You can kind of play it a little looser. So Eric and I were able to open the shop and basically work from open to close 7 days a week for 3 or 4 months until we could organically find the budget for staff. And now we're up to, I think I wrote 8 full-time paychecks last time I wrote payroll.
Right.
So, building a business and getting a job, getting some people to work for us. And 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, we bought the food truck, which the more time I have for it, the better it does. So,
yeah, tell us about that. In 1999, this is what you'll bring the Fitzgeralds on June 3rd.
Yes, sir.
1999 Freightliner?
Freightliner Grumman Olsen. It's an old diesel. It's a diesel dually, like a UPS truck, essentially, that's been retrofitted with a few burners and some refrigeration, a toaster, a warmer, and all the wear washing and hand washing stations necessary, a water pump, and a generator. So it sounds kind of like a lawnmower. Most of the time, like at kind of low constant, which is why I don't hear so good anymore. But it's great. It's such a flexible tool. So many of these food trucks, especially you see down here amongst the tourist trade, are very specialized creatures. The tamale truck, the cupcake truck, they're built for one specific kind of narrow approach. This one was built kind of with nothing in mind. I didn't build it. I bought it from someone. And So tonight we're doing like Pacific Rim style fried rice and tempura garnish at Halakahiki.
Yeah, I love that.
Last night we were at Kinslager doing backyard barbecue, beef spare ribs and pork spare ribs. We're having a great time.
It's a good idea to have food at Halakahiki to absorb
it
those
really
drinks.
It really is, man. I've been going there. I've been living in River Grove for just about 10 years now. And, the wife and I go over there a couple times in the summer to sit on the most beautiful patio in the entire western suburbs. big old black walnut trees in the whole shot. Yeah. And a couple of times in the winter, because winter is absolutely miserable out this way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been one of my favorite places for a very long time, and I can't tell you how many tables I've lost there because I decided to go get a hot dog.
Yeah.
So that was one of my first goals. Is like, let's get into Halakahiki. Let's figure out who owns that place. Let's see if we can talk them into letting us hang out here. So we've been with them now 2 years or so, and with Kinslager 2 years or so. It's getting to be a real going concern. It's a lot of fun, too.
Now, I'm going to use this Hawaiian tropical segue to talk about what you brought in.
Oh, sure.
So tell us, we don't many people, so thank you so much. Not a lot of guests bring food in. So tell us what you brought in.
Invite us anytime. I'm happy to bring sandwiches. Today I have some spam musubi. Spam is one of the more popular meat products eaten by people in the South Pacific, everywhere, in the Philippines, everywhere. Anywhere we went with our American military, we left spam in our wake. There are dozens and dozens of brands. It's amazing. If you've ever been to the Philippines in a grocery store, there's a whole aisle of spam, like we have a whole aisle of cereal. It's incredible. So our spam, we make ourselves. Fresh Berkshire pork from downstate in Fairbury, Illinois. Hams from the same. Ground together, whipped, and baked. Then musubi denotes sushi rice. So the vinegar and sugar seasoned short grain sticky rice. And wrapped in a little piece of nori. Sometimes you see the spam glazed in like a teriyaki, or they grill it a little first. I did this very, very simply because I knew I had to set it up this afternoon to go set up the truck to come here to go back. So I made it as flexible as I was humanly possible. But the sky's the limit. You can make it really crazy and cute.
I left John Saul on the mic because our photographer John Saul is a big meat guy and grill. John's eating it right now.
He's got a mouthful of dinner.
Great timing, Dave.
But you can think about it. You can digest that. I read some background about it. This is no irony hipster thing. You take the spam really seriously.
Oh, no.
It's not like any tongue-in-cheek thing.
Yeah, you saw the David Hammond.
Yeah, right.
I was wondering like why you kept pinging on spam.
Yeah.
David Hammond came in fresh off of being in Hawaii, and this is literally the exact thing that happened. He had put up a picture of some musubi joint that, he showed me a bunch of pictures, and I was like, oh man, spam, we ain't made spam in a long time. I love these kind of things. These like, because I grew up in Central Illinois.
Oh, where'd you grow up?
Peoria and environs. We lived around there a lot. We lived in Rock Falls for a short period of time as well.
Uh-huh.
The palate was not quite as refined as what came to be my guests and clientele here in Chicago. Spam was a thing that you saw. And I love it. And I've always enjoyed it. And, this sort of twirly mustache, hipstery, tight pants, V-neck t-shirt stuff, I don't do it.
Yeah, right.
Like, I like the things I like, and sometimes those things overlap with these hipster goofballs, but I just don't.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not that cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. It's the store is at 1042 Pleasant Street?
Yeah, 1042 Pleasant Street, Oak Park. It's right off of Marion Street. If you've ever had a drink at Poor Phil's, you could have thrown a rock through my front window.
Okay. All right, then we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk a little about what you're going to bring the Fitzgeralds to.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So they'll go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Horse trailers and truckers and old station wagons driven by women with too many kids, and they've all been trying to leave their situation for years and years.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We're talking about the Camper Book Party, which will be the book release party June 3rd at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. In the studio, we have John Saul, the photographer of the book. We have Brad Knobb from Carnivore Inc. in Oak Park, and you're going to be serving food out of a food truck there.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be the food truck is actually a whole separate thing called the Oak Park Ministry of Sandwiches, etc. It's the most expensive George Orwell joke I've ever told that nobody gets. So we'll be out. I think because of this season and sort of I haven't seen the book yet, but soon I will. What I assume the book kind of feels like, I'm going to aim for sort of American classic, barbecue, potato salad, coleslaw, ribs, maybe a burger, We make a lot of good sausages. Maybe I'll bring a sausage out.
Good.
A cheese sausage. Americans love cheese sausage. You know.
And then on the phone, we have, thanks so much for joining us on a Saturday night, is Steve Cook, the general manager, Airstream of Chicago. How are you, Steve?
Very good. How are you, Dave?
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And you're going to have an Airstream at the event. Talk about what you're bringing. And one thing we learned real quick in our travels for the book, two summers ago, was this whole thing is really upswinging. So talk about what you're bringing and what you're seeing the trends going.
So, Dave, we're going to be bringing out a brand new Airstream Base Camp. The Airstream Base Camp is the number one seller for Airstream, not only for 2017, but also going forward right now with 2018. It's a smaller camper, about 16 foot long, less than 3,500 pounds, and it's just very, very versatile. It's for that really outdoors family that or a couple that really likes biking, hiking, rappelling, all the real fun outdoor sporting stuff to do. So
easy to tow, right? I've read that.
Very easy to tow. Again, under 3,500 pounds, you can tow with pretty much all SUVs or even some of your smaller SUVs and some Subarus as well.
It's got a kitchen, refrigerator. A bath, a wet bath.
It does. It's got sleeping for two. Makes for a nice bed. Has a wet bath. Onboard water storage. Some of them will come with solar panels and microwaves. But they do have cooktops, electric. I mean, it's a fully functional home, Dave. They have they've got all the creature comforts of home, just kind of packed into a smaller little venue there.
Now, where are you at? If people want to see these. Give us the back address and website and all that stuff.
So Airstream of Chicago is located in Naperville off of Route 59, two blocks south of 95th Street. So our address is 9740 South Route 59, Naperville, Illinois.
And this is for the whole panel we were talking about during the break, and John brought it up. John and I saw this in Portland, and also for Brad. And we went to a food park where all these trailers, and they were all Airstream trailers serving food out of the Airstreams. Have you guys seen a lot of that, Brad?
Yeah, you see a lot of it in the sort of the markets that have been friendly to food trucks. Chicago, not inclusive. Places like Austin and Portland and Seattle, all those places where they're kind of allowing that to flourish, you see an incredible variation of things that people are using for serving food to people. You see somebody selling, pre-made baked goods out of a stripped-down Airstream with just a stool and a cash register, all the way up to people buying, something from the 50s or 60s and really re-kitting it, rebuilding the frame so it can carry 60 gallons of water. I mean, people go crazy for it, and I just think it's the coolest thing.
Steve, why is that? What's the appeal?
Well, it's just it's classic Americana. It's iconic. The company's been around since 1931. And they just, they withstand the test of time. Getting back to what you just said, we are one of those places that do customizations on Airstream. So we,
oh, you do?
We've built hot dog stands. We've built, we've turned them into mobile salons. We'll take a blank shell and completely build it to whatever you want it to be. We've got on staff engineers and CAD designers, and there's really nothing that we can't do, Dave.
Wow, I didn't know that. Do you rent them? I mean, I got started in this years ago when I was at the Sun Times, and we'd rent motorhomes for stories and stuff like that. Do you rent them, or do you know anybody who rents these?
So we do. We've actually, this year in our rental fleet, we're going to have a 22-foot Sport. The reason why we stay with some of the smaller models is just because Chicagoland area, not everybody has a pickup truck. So we have to, we try to make it convenient for larger amount of the population in the area to be able to rent one and tow it. So we do rent a 22 Sport. We actually currently have a base camp in our rental fleet, but we will be retiring that this year for the 22 Sport. And then we rent Airstream Interstate, which is the Mercedes-Benz luxury touring coach that we just, for the first time, put in our rental fleet this spring. Unfortunately, it's already booked out most of the summer. There's only a few weekends left, but if somebody wanted to call, we could see if it's available.
Now, who's and this again, this is for everybody, who's buying these, who's interested in these? When we started the book and when I had the proposal, there was always an image that it was like older people and retirees, and we didn't see, you know, we saw some of that, but I mean, I saw a lot of young families going off the grid, a lot of traveling nurses that were spending 6 months in a campground and moving on. And wanted to have a little more control of their families. Who's interested in this lifestyle?
It's funny you ask that, because I had that conversation with a 42-year-old buyer today. He asked the same question, and just in the last week, we've sold three units to people 42 and under. The age demographic for the Airstreams has really come down. About 3 years ago, I would tell you that the average age range is roughly about 58 years old. That's come down over 10 years. So our average age is roughly about 47, 48 now. And it's not unheard of that in a single month we sell three or four trailers to someone under the age of 40. People are using them to, just to move, just be kind of nomadic. Get out of the house, get out of the property tax. Probably about 10 or 15% of the people we sell to just want to leave the state and go find another place to live. So it's an interesting scenario we have going on right now.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, are you coming out to Fitzgerald, Steve? Will we see you?
I probably won't be out there. My marketing guy, Garrett's going to be there for sure. I don't think I'll be able to make it, but I appreciate it.
Okay, so give us the information again, and then same thing for Brad. But how can people find you, Steve?
So, again, our dealership is located in Naperville off of Illinois Route 59, two blocks south of 95th. Our address is 9740 South Route 59, and it's Airstream of Chicago, www.airstreamofchicago.com.
Brad, same in, man, and Brad, that spam was really, really good. Thank did you have some, Dan?
I did. Yeah, the presentation was interesting. Yeah. I think it helped it a lot.
We took some pictures. We'll put on the website. Yeah. We'll bring that to the Nissan Lounge.
It's like a spam like roll.
So give us the information.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Carnivore Oak Park, carnivoreoakpark.com. If you go to Facebook and search Carnivore Oak Park, you'll find it there too. Twitter, Instagram, all of those silly places. Or you can just call us directly, 708-660-1100. Stop by. We're open 7 days a week. So, come on in. I'll make you a sandwich. It's a low investment way to see if you like us.
Do you do backyard barbecues? I read that.
Yes. Actually, we have one out tonight. My guys, Justin and Chris, are out at a barbecue in Oak Park today. We have a 6-foot charcoal grill, one of those 10x10 pop-up tents, a couple tables, some coolers, the whole thing. A lot of people use this because it's so awkward to have their to borrow or take money from their neighbors, so we'll take the money for you.
Okay, thanks, you guys. We're going to break for the news. We'll be back with some classical music after this on WGN.